Imagine waking up tomorrow and finding out that one single tech giant now legally owns the underlying concept of, like, a Python developer.
Which sounds completely dystopian, right?
Yeah, it totally sounds like science fiction. But looking at our stack of sources today, it's basically our reality. Welcome to the Deep Dive.
Glad to be here. We've got a really wild lineup today.
We really do. I'm your host, and today we're digging into a fascinating stack of notes from the March 20th, 2026 edition of AtRumic News, Tech and AI Daily.
And the overarching theme today is just, it's intense.
Yeah. And I promise you, the listener, by the end of this deep dive, you'll understand exactly how a new AI coding lawsuit and, frankly, bizarre academic conference decision are actually connected.
Connected to the future of how literally everything is built.
Exactly. Because we are looking at this massive tug of war today. On one side, you have unprecedented corporate consolidation, these huge walled gardens.
Right. And on the other side, you've got this fiercely independent developer community fighting back with highly optimized decentralized tools.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the heavyweights. Because OpenAI just made a massive move.
Oh, yeah. The Astral acquisition.
Right. They acquired Astral, which is the team behind Uv and Ruff. So Charlie Marsh and his whole crew are just being absorbed into OpenAI's Codex division.
Which is huge.
It is. To put this in perspective for you, this isn't just them buying another AI startup. Python is essentially the shipping lane for all AI data.
Exactly.
So by buying the team that builds the hyper-fast package managers for Python, OpenAI just bought the Panama Canal.
That's a great way to put it. They get to dictate the speed, the shape, and, you know, the toll of every cargo ship that passes through.
Right. But then, meanwhile, across town, Anthropic is actively taking legal action against OpenCode.
Yeah, and the way they're doing it is unprecedented.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
They aren't just filing briefs in a courtroom. This legal drama is literally spilling out in a public GitHub pull request discussion.
Which is just wild to read through.
It's centered entirely around training data handling and model weight similarities.
Yeah.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture.
Well, the Astral acquisition is a masterstroke in supply chain capture. I mean,
right.
You have to look at the mechanics of what Astral actually does.
Right.
Python, by its nature, is an interpreted language, so it's notoriously slow.
Oh, painfully slow sometimes.
Yeah. And Astral revolutionized the ecosystem by rewriting Python's core developer tools in Rust, which parses abstract syntax trees at light speed.
So they just made everything incredibly fast.
Exactly. So OpenAI isn't just hiring engineers here. They are embedding themselves at the absolute lowest level of the developer stack.
Wow.
When you type of install now, you are interfacing with OpenAI's infrastructure. They're capturing the workflow before you even write your first line of AI code.
Which makes Anthropic's move against OpenCode even more intense. I mean, suing an open source competitor is one thing.
Right.
But fighting over it inside a GitHub PR? That seems completely unhinged. How do you even prove copyright infringement in a neural network's weights during a code review?
You do it by exposing the gradient artifacts.
Okay, wait. What are gradient artifacts?
Well, that's exactly what makes this GitHub thread so consequential. Anthropic isn't just claiming OpenCode stole their architecture. In the PR comments, Anthropic's engineers are actually demonstrating how OpenCode's model reacts to highly specific synthetic edge case prompts.
Like prompts that Anthropic specifically invented.
Yes. Prompts they injected into their own proprietary training data as a sort of watermark.
Oh, wow. So it's a trap.
Exactly. When OpenCode's model outputs the exact same idiosyncratic hallucination, it mathematically proves the model was either fine-tuned on Anthropic's outputs or the data set was directly compromised.
That's brilliant.
It is. And by litigating this in a public repository, Anthropic is trying to establish a massive legal precedent for how we define data provenance in weight matrices.
So if OpenAI owns the canal and Anthropic is publicly prosecuting anyone who builds a similar boat,
the open source community has to find a different way to move entirely.
Right. Because while the giants are obsessing over these massive models like GPT 5.4, the open source world is moving in the exact opposite direction.
We're going small.
Extremely small.
Mm-hmm.
Today's notes show Cursor Composer 2 just dropped its benchmarks, and it actually beats Claude Opus 4.6 in zero-shot coding tests.
Which is an incredible achievement for an open tool.
It is, even if it still trails GPT 5.4. But then we have Kitten TTS releasing three new text-to-speech models, all under 25 megabytes.
25? 25 megabytes. That's nothing.
Nothing. And at the exact same time, LangChain OpenSWE, which is an open source asynchronous coding agent, is exploding with almost 1,000 stars on GitHub today.
The momentum is definitely shifting.
But I have to push back here a little bit.
Sure.
If Cursor Composer is still objectively trailing GPT 5.4 in raw logic, why should we care about a tiny 25 megabyte kitten TTS model? Isn't the whole premise of this AI boom that scale like bigger models, more compute always wins?
Well, scale wins if your only metric is raw generalized reasoning.
Okay.
But that fundamentally misunderstands the mechanism of edge deployment.
How so?
Think about it. When you use GPT 5.4, you are tethered to a corporate cloud. You're entirely dependent on their API uptime, their latency, their terms of service.
Right. If my internet drops, I lose my AI.
Exactly. What Kitten TTS is doing relies on extreme quantization. They aren't just compressing a big model. They're fundamentally reducing the precision of the neural weights.
Meaning what, mathematically?
From 16-bit floating points down to maybe 2-bit or even 1-bit ternary weights. It requires a completely different training paradigm.
Wow.
And the result is a model that runs entirely in the local RAM of your smartwatch or your phone.
No network request needed.
No network request, zero latency, absolute privacy. It's the decoupling of AI from the data center.
And that decoupling is where LangChain OpenSWE comes in, right?
Exactly.
The notes describe it as an asynchronous coding agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people hear AI coding and they just picture the standard setup.
Right, the chatbot interface.
Yeah. You copy a prompt, you wait, the AI spits out a function, and you copy-paste it. How does asynchronous coding actually change that?
Well, the prompt and response model is synchronous. You are the human in the loop, basically acting as the compiler and the debugger.
Which takes up a lot of my time.
Right. OpenSWE removes you entirely. Asynchronous means you assign the AI a GitHub issue and you just walk away.
Wait, really? You just leave it?
You leave it. Behind the scenes, the agent spins up its own isolated virtual machine. It clones the repository, reads the code base, writes the patch, and then, crucially, it runs the test suite.
So it tests its own code?
Yes. And when the tests inevitably fail, it reads the traceback error, debugs its own code, rewrites it, runs the tests again.
That's insane.
It'll iterate through that loop 50 times if it has to. Once it passes, it submits a pull request for your review. It's an autonomous, continuous integration pipeline working while you sleep.
Which sounds incredibly empowering right up until you try to actually use your own hardware.
Yeah. The operating system problem.
Exactly. Because this push for autonomous edge-deployed tools is slamming face-first into a brick wall. And that wall is being built by the OS gatekeepers.
It's a major point of friction right now.
Today's notes highlight two massive OS updates causing absolute chaos. Google just introduced a mandatory 24-hour waiting period, plus extra biometric verification just to sideload an unverified Android app.
Which is highly controversial.
Yeah. And over in Apple's ecosystem, macOS 26 just shipped a breaking change that completely overrides custom DNS settings and breaks .internal domains.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Here's where it gets really interesting for you listening. This is like your landlord putting a mandatory 24-hour waiting period on you changing your own locks.
That's a good analogy.
And then they just cement over your back door entirely,
yeah,
claiming it's for your own security, even if it means you literally can't do your job.
Hi.
Developers are screaming that macOS 26 is actively scrambling their legitimate local testing environments.
Right.
How does an OS update break the internal internet for developers?
What's fascinating here is how security protocols are being weaponized, whether intentionally or not, against developer autonomy.
Okay, break that down for me.
Let's look at the mechanics of macOS 26. Apple has enforced DNS over HTTPS at the kernel level.
Which sounds like a good security feature.
It is, for the average user. But historically, a developer could modify their local host file or use a local resolver to route traffic for testing.
Like if I'm building a local server.
Exactly. If you're building a Kubernetes cluster on your laptop, you'd use a .internal domain to make your microservices talk to each other.
Right.
But by forcing all DNS queries through Apple's encrypted centralized servers, the OS completely bypasses those local routing rules.
Oh, no. So the local traffic tries to go out to the real internet.
Yes. The .internal traffic gets pushed out to the public internet, fails to resolve, and your entire local development environment just collapses.
It effectively outlaws offline development under the guise of security.
Essentially, yes.
And I assume Google's 24-hour waiting period for Android sideloading operates on a similar logic.
It does. And we have to view this impartially because the threat models they're fighting are very real.
That's fair.
From Google's perspective, Android is used by billions of non-technical people who are constantly targeted by sophisticated social engineering.
Like phishing scams.
Exactly. A bad actor calls a victim, impersonates their bank, and convinces them to download a malicious APK file immediately.
Ah, so a 24-hour waiting period breaks the urgency.
Precisely. The scammer can't keep the victim on the phone for 24 hours. It's an incredibly effective safeguard.
But the collateral damage is the developer.
Right. If you're building an independent Android app and you want to test your daily build on your own physical phone, you are now treated with the exact same hostility as a piece of malware.
So the OS giants are fortifying the walls to keep the bad guys out, but they're suffocating the developers trapped inside.
That's exactly what's happening.
Well, this walled garden approach explains exactly why we're seeing an explosion in hardware simulation right now.
Yes, the pivot to simulation is huge.
Because if developers can't test safely or efficiently on Apple or Google's operating systems, they're just moving further down the stack to build their own realities.
They're building their own sandboxes.
Let's look at the hardware updates, because the speed here is staggering. Alibaba just launched Open Sandbox, which is a general-purpose AI sandbox with a Kubernetes runtime.
A containerized world for AI to play in, basically.
Exactly. Then we have the Newton Physics Engine launching today. It's heavily GPU accelerated on NVIDIA Warp, specifically targeting robotics.
That's a massive leap forward.
And right alongside that, Waymo's latest safety impact report just dropped, showing vastly reduced crash rates compared to human drivers over millions of miles.
The safety data is undeniable at this point.
Plus, the Xiaomi SU7 next-gen EV is now boasting a 902-kilometer range with full LiDAR integration, and they're undercutting Tesla on price.
It's moving so fast.
But I'm looking at these numbers, and I just don't get the math. Xiaomi and Waymo simply haven't had enough physical cars on physical roads for enough years to iterate this fast.
Right.
So where is this data actually coming from? Are tools like Open Sandbox and the Newton Physics Engine the secret sauce here?
You've isolated the exact bottleneck of physical engineering. And the answer is that the data isn't coming from physical roads at all.
Okay.
It's coming from the simulation to reality pipeline. This is why the Newton Physics Engine running on NVIDIA Warp is the most important piece of that puzzle.
How does it work differently than what we had before?
Well, traditional physics engines run on a CPU. They calculate rigid body dynamics sequentially, which is slow.
Right.
NVIDIA Warp allows the physics engine to run natively on the GPU's tensor cores. It parallelizes the matrix math for millions of micro-collisions simultaneously.
So instead of simulating one car crash, you can simulate 10,000 car crashes in the exact same amount of time.
Precisely. And you simulate them with perfect fidelity.
Wow. Like weather and everything.
Everything. Accounting for tire friction coefficients, LiDAR sensor noise in a rainstorm, the exact weight distribution of the chassis.
That's unbelievable.
And then you pair that physics engine with Alibaba's Open Sandbox, which orchestrates millions of asynchronous AI agents to act as unpredictable pedestrians and erratic drivers.
Oh, so the AI is learning to drive in a completely populated, perfectly simulated digital city.
Exactly. By the time Waymo pushes an over-the-air update to a physical car, that neural network has already driven billions of miles in a digital twin of San Francisco.
So they don't need real roads to learn.
No.
Yeah.
That zero-shot transfer from a perfectly modeled digital sandbox straight to physical asphalt is the only mechanism that allows a company like Xiaomi to aggressively redesign an EV and achieve a 902-kilometer range in a fraction of the legacy development cycle.
So we have AI agents writing code autonomously while we sleep.
Yeah.
We have hardware companies simulating reality with such perfect mathematical fidelity that they're outpacing legacy automakers.
This technology is moving flawlessly.
Right. Which brings us to the human element in our notes today. And it is, frankly, a complete mess.
It really is the academic bottleneck.
Over at ICLR 2026, the International Conference on Learning Representations, a submitted research paper was just selected for an oral presentation.
Which is a huge honor in academia.
A massive honor. But the reviewer scores for this paper were an 8, a 4, a 2, and another 2. The academic community is completely baffled.
It's a completely polarized result.
So what does this all mean for us? We have cars driving better than humans, but the top academic conferences can't figure out if a paper is groundbreaking with an 8 or terrible with 2 2s.
Right.
How does a paper with 2 2s even get stage time?
This raises an important question about the limits of human consensus mechanisms. What you're seeing in that 8-4-2-2 split is not just a disagreement over methodology.
Okay, then what is it?
It's a profound paradigm divergence. Traditional peer review relies on a shared foundational understanding of the field.
Like everyone agrees on the basic rules.
Exactly. But that shared foundation no longer exists in AI. The reviewers are literally speaking different scientific languages.
Wait, what do you mean by different languages? Aren't they all just evaluating the same data?
They're looking at the same data, but judging it through entirely incompatible philosophies.
Give me an example.
Well, the reviewer who gave it an 8 might be evaluating the paper based on algorithmic efficiency. Perhaps it introduces a novel way to achieve reasoning on edge devices with very little compute. They see that as the future.
Right, like the 25 megabyte kitten TTS models we talked about.
Exactly. But the reviewers who gave it a 2 might be compute maximalists.
Meaning they think bigger is always better.
Yes. In their paradigm, any research that isn't relying on the neural scaling laws of 100,000 clustered GPUs is just a quaint, unpublishable dead end.
Ah, so they just completely reject the premise of the paper?
Right. When the underlying technology evolves this non-linearly, the human gatekeepers fracture.
That makes sense.
The systems we designed over centuries to slowly, methodically vet and verify human knowledge simply cannot process paradigm shifts that happen, you know, on a Tuesday.
That is so true.
The 8-4-2-2 split perfectly represents the current state of our industry. It's brilliantly polarizing and entirely outrunning our ability to govern it.
It's the ultimate human bottleneck. We've built systems that are so fast and so alien that we can't even agree on how to measure them anymore.
Exactly.
Let's do a quick recap of the journey we've been on today for you listening. We started with the massive infrastructure land grab at the top, OpenAI acquiring Astral to own the Python supply chain.
While Anthropic tries to set legal precedents for model weights in public GitHub pull requests.
Right. Then we looked at the open source resistance pushing back, building highly quantized edge models and asynchronous agents like OpenSWE that free developers from the cloud entirely.
Which then crashed right into the walled gardens of Google and Apple.
Oh yeah, those brutal OS updates enforcing encrypted DNS and sideloading delays that actively break local development.
Such a huge source of friction.
And finally, we saw how GPU-accelerated physics engines are allowing hardware to bypass physical limitations entirely, while our slow human systems like academic peer review just completely fracture under the pressure.
It's a landscape defined by the tension between control and escape.
Oh.
And looking at all these mechanisms together leaves us with something critical to consider.
What's that?
Well, with Apple and Google aggressively locking down the network layers of their operating systems, while at the exact same time, AI models are shrinking to run locally and coding tools are becoming fully autonomous.
Yeah.
Will the developer of the future even need a traditional operating system?
Oh, wow.
Or are we heading toward a future where your personal offline AI operates directly on bare metal, bypassing the tech giants' walled gardens entirely to build what you need right on your device?
That is the ultimate question. While the megacorporations are busy buying up the shipping lanes and building massive toll booths, the tools to go completely off the grid and build your own digital reality are getting smaller, faster, and smarter every single day.
It's going to be wild to watch.
The battle for the underlying infrastructure is just getting started. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the Atomic News Stack. Keep questioning the walls around you, and as always, keep your curiosity sharp.